If I were to take a trip to Washington, D.C., and I said, you know what, I'd like to go meet the president and talk to him about some things, and I drove to D.C. and walked up to wherever I could to try to get in, I would be turned away or arrested because I don't belong there. And that's not a place that I can just walk up to and go to. I don't have the credentials. I don't have the whatever's the requirements to even get to see somebody like a president or anybody of really of higher power or authority. I'm just me. There are a lot of people that I will not get to meet. I will not get to talk to them or have lunch with them or play basketball with them or any of that because it's just not, I don't meet the credentials. I'm not, I don't have the requirements. I'm not worthy, so to speak. And when I go, I like to go to the Rays baseball games when we get free tickets. When they're free, I'll go. But when you go, you go, and you get good seats. Don't get me wrong, they're great seats. But down in front are the really nice seats. They're cushioned, and they recline, and they're big, and somebody's waiting on them. And I don't get to sit in those seats because I didn't pay for the ticket. I don't have a ticket to get into those seats, and I probably never will. But there are a lot of people and places that we just can't go, may never get to go. We'll never get to meet some famous people just because we're not in that caliber, so to speak, or we don't have the credentials to be there. And I think we all understand how that works. But I may not get to meet anybody famous in this world. I may not get to talk to the president. I may not get to sit in a fancy seat at a Rays game. What about God? Ever stop to think about getting to see God? And I think that is far more important than anything famous or special on this earth, is who gets to be with God? Who is worthy enough to be in God's presence? Who will get that privilege one day of getting to see the Lord face to face? Who is it that can have a relationship with God, have fellowship and communion with God? Who among us in this world will get to do that? And that is the most important question that we can ask in this life, far above anything else we may want to do on this earth. The most important question is, who can be with God? Because I'm sure that's where we all want to be, is to be with God. So what is the answer to that question? Well, David, in Psalm 15, in verse 1, actually writes and brings this question up. In Psalm 15, if you'll turn with me there to the book of Psalms and look at Psalm 15. It's not real long, but it's a big question that David asks in this psalm. And in his writing, it is really a rhetorical question because thankfully he goes on to answer that question. Psalm 15, verse 1, he says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? That's what David was thinking about. That's the question he poses. Who is it that can be in the presence of God? Who gets to dwell in the tabernacle of the Lord? Who is it that gets to dwell on the holy hill of the Lord? Again, the question is, who is And I'm sure, you know, David, or in thinking about this, just the magnitude of what that means of getting to be with God. It's just like as David himself said in the previous psalm and others, when he says, "When I behold your heavens and the work of your hands," and so on and so forth, what is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we to even be considered by God? To be loved by God? And David says here, who's going to get to be with God? And to answer that question, who is worthy to get to be with God and to see God and to be in heaven with God? Well, the answer is no one. When we think about our sin in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, as we've said, none of us are worthy in and of ourselves. None of us have the merits or credentials to say, "Well, I get to be with God because I'm just such a good person, and He, you know, I'm that special, and I get to be with God." No, because we've all sinned. Adam and Eve had that relationship in its own right in the very beginning, but they messed it up because of sin. And that's what we're trying to get back to, is that relationship with God. But sin messes it up. Sin separates us from God. And so, because of our sin, none of us, in and of ourselves, are worthy to be with God. We shouldn't even be allowed to be with God. But thanks be to God for His love and mercy, that He decided, not we, He decided, that He wants us to be with Him anyway. And that's why He sent Jesus to die for us, to save us from our sins, to free us from sins. We talked about in Bible class this morning. So that we can be with Him. So to answer the question beyond that, after that understanding, okay, I know I'm not worthy in and of myself, but who will get to be with God in heaven? Who will be worthy to be with God in heaven? Well, David actually answers this for us, and the majority of this psalm, when he says, picking up in Psalm 15, verse 2, after David asks, "Well, who may abide in your tabernacle, who may dwell in your holy hill?" He says, "What it's, I'll tell you who. It's he who walks uprightly, the one who is blameless," he says, "and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. It is he who does not backbite or slander with his tongue. It is he who does not do evil to his neighbor. He does not take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. It is the one who swears to his own hurt and does not change. It is the one who does not put out his money at usury or interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent," he says. In essence, what David is saying, that the ones who are going to get to be with the Lord, the ones who will get to abide in the tabernacle of God, the ones who will get to dwell on His holy hill, are those who are holy themselves, having been forgiven by God, having been saved from sin, that if we will then live, as we talked about from the very lesson this morning in Bible class about being dead to sin and alive to God, that we choose to live as slaves of righteousness. And what David is saying is he is pondering that question and asking, okay, who will get to see God? Well, it's those who do this, who live righteously. It is those who live in the way that God calls them to live. And if we want to see God, which is the ultimate application this morning that I want us to take away from this, is if I want to see God one day, if I want to be with God in heaven for eternity, then this is what I've got to be doing and not doing. You know, if this question or this has to dictate each day of our life, each choice we make is the knowledge, the thinking of, I want to see God one day. I want to be with God one day. Okay, what if you want it so bad, then what are you going to do about it? Well, what you're going to do about it is say, what is pleasing to the Lord? I want to find out what is acceptable to Him. I want to find out what He has told me to do with my life so that I can be with Him in heaven one day. And that's what David lays out for us here. He is not an exhaustive list, but he gives applications that the ones who will get to be with God are the one who walks uprightly, does righteousness, speaks the truth. He's not backbiting and slandering with his tongue, not doing evil to his neighbor, not taking up a reproach against a friend. He despises those who sin. He honors those who fear the Lord and live in righteousness. He swears to his own hurt and doesn't change it. He's honest, reliable, trustworthy, even if it means his own pain and suffering. It is he who does not put out his money at usury and try to cheat people or even require more than is necessary. And doesn't take a bribe against the innocent. Doesn't lie, cheat, steal. I mean, we could go on with the list. Does not commit adultery. Does not commit fornication. Does not murder. Does not covet. I mean, the list, you could go on. And so in a nutshell, the answer to the question of who will get to see God, it's those who will live the life He has called them to live as He has called us to live in holiness and in righteousness. Because God can have nothing to do with sin, so it just makes sense that if we continue to live in sin, we won't get to be with God. Again, if that's what I want, if my goal, my aim is I want to be with God in heaven, I want to see God face to face. Because I don't want to spend eternity away from God in hell, for sure. Well, then I need to listen to what David's saying. And I need to make sure that I'm living that life that is going to ensure that I'm there. Because in the verse 5, the assurance, he says that he who does these things shall never be moved. Does what things? Well, does these things of righteousness. Works righteousness. Lives as a slave of righteousness. One who does not continue in sin, but one who gives himself fully to the Lord. Some other passages to consider this morning along these lines. Again, that's not a long psalm. It's pretty short. Tonight we're looking at a long one, which I probably shouldn't have told you that. Come back tonight. But if we want to see God, to ask that question, do I want to see God one day? Do I want to spend eternity with Him in heaven? Well, then He's called me to live a life of purity and holiness. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, we call them for quick reference. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about those who are going to be in the kingdom, those who are going to receive the blessings of God, those who are poor in spirit, meek, mourn, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But one of them in particular, he says in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't know, something about that just really sticks out to me. Just how Jesus says that we'll see God, that we'll get to see God and be with God. But it's those who are pure in heart, he says. Another scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 14. Where the Hebrew writer here talks also about seeing the Lord. He says in verse 14 that we are to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. There's the contrast. There's the opposite. So Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Here, the Hebrew writer says that those who don't live in holiness will not get to see the Lord. So if I want to see the Lord, I'm told what to do. To live that life of righteousness and holiness. And as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, as Peter was laying out, he's talking about when he first started in verse 3 and praising God for the spiritual blessings we have of the inheritance that is waiting for us, that we have that hope in Christ of one day being with God in heaven, and we have this reward waiting for us. Well, then he says, picking up in verse 13, that we are to, he says, therefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Those who would dwell with God on His holy hill are those who are holy themselves. Which really just makes sense. That in Christ Jesus we are made holy. But it is up to us to stay that way. Again, we have choices to make. And I need to choose righteousness. I need to choose holiness. I need to choose to live the life God has called me to live. Because 1 John chapter 3 again talks about the hope we have. By verse 1 in chapter 3 of 1 John. You know, consider the love that God has for us, that we can even be called children of God. That's huge. Who gets to be called children of God? Who gets to have that relationship with God? It's those who come to Him and obey Him. Verse 3, notice he says, and everyone who has this hope in Him, that is, the hope of being resurrected with Christ, the hope of being with God one day in heaven, he says, the ones who have this hope purifies himself just as He is pure. So really, in a way, what John is saying, it could be said another way, that if you want the hope of being with God in heaven one day, then you've got to be pure just as He is pure. Just as Peter said, we're to be holy just as God is holy. We are to purify ourselves just as He is pure. It really just makes sense. If we want to be with God one day, and if we want to see God, and I do, and thanks be to God for His love and mercy and forgiveness, so that I can be forgiven of my sins and stand blameless before Him one day, come judgment day. So that I can know that I am saved, so that I can know that I will get to be with Him in heaven one day, and it is by His grace. But it's also by my responsibility of living a righteous, godly, holy life. And as David asked that question, who's it going to be? Well, he tells us. It's going to be those who choose to live a righteous life. So really what it all boils down to again is, do you want to see God? I do. What a day that'll be. To finally get to see God face to face. To get to be with God in heaven for forever. Which you can't even comprehend. Well, then I've got to make sure and examine my life. And ask myself, am I living that life of righteousness and holiness? Am I a slave of righteousness? Or am I still a slave of sin? See, in Christ, we've been freed from that. But it's going to boil down to our choices and who we choose to serve. And I want to serve God so that I can be with Him one day in heaven. If you will, let's go to God in prayer together. Our God and Father in heaven, we love and praise and thank You. Dear God, we know that we're not worthy. Because we have sinned. But that is why we are so thankful for Your grace and mercy, that we can be forgiven of those sins, and that we can be Your holy people, that we can be blameless and sinless in Your sight. Dear God, you have called us to live a holy life. Help us in that, dear Father. Help us to live that life that you have laid out for us in your word. Help us in the choices we make every day. Help us to choose righteousness over sin. And when we fall, pick us up and please forgive us and help us to continue to live in righteousness so that we can one day see you face to face, see your glory, and that we can spend eternity with you in heaven. Thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus and your love and forgiveness that we can be with you in heaven. What a day that will be. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Go ahead and take your songbooks out, number selected this morning. That's the wonderful thing about God. We shouldn't be allowed to see God. We're not supposed to be in heaven. It's actually the opposite. Heaven is not what we deserve. But what an awesome God we serve that says He loves us and is willing to forgive all of that sin, to wipe the slate clean, and to think that one day we will be with God in heaven. You know, we're overwhelmed in this life when certain things are done for us that we don't deserve. When somebody does something special for us and it really touches us, it really hits us, it really humbles us. When someone shows some kind of act of love, when someone does something in our life that it, as we say, blows us away. We don't deserve it. You know, why would they do that for me? Well, that's what God has done above and beyond in sending Jesus, His only Son, to die for us, to save us from our sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you don't have that hope of one day being in heaven. You don't have the forgiveness of your sins because you've not been washed in the blood of Jesus that cleanses those sins away. But if you want that hope, if you want to see God one day, want to be with God in heaven one day, you can come now repenting of those sins, confessing faith in Christ, being baptized, washing those sins away, rising up new, and know in your heart that one day you'll get to see God. That's what you want. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing this song?